of Ober Yerech Imo, as we started to explain yesterday, is a big sugya, and it's a shas sugya, and we could spend a lot of time, a lot of days and weeks going back and forth to the various rayas, the various sugyas where it comes up. So in the interest of being able to keep a brisk pace, no pun intended, we'll just try to highlight some key points about how we can approach this sugya, and it's also just interesting, it's relevant to how you can approach sugyas in general. But essentially what we see here, we started to set up yesterday, is that there is a question which in some cases is a explicit machlokas in the Gemara, machlokas the Amoraim. In some cases it's not explicit that that's what the sugya is talking about, and you have to figure it out or assume, including in our Gemara. Our Gemara is not explicit, it's Tosfos that brings it in. So the concept of Uber as it relates to the mother is the Uber Yerech Imo, is the Uber like the mother's thigh, essentially, implying that it's not an independent entity. Is that the status, or should we say no, Uber Lav Yerech Imo, which usually would probably mean it's an independent entity. We mentioned could also mean in some context that not necessarily it's an independent entity, but it's just not part of the mother, and it's not necessarily going to be subject to whatever happens to the mother. So, in general, we find some machlokas in the Gemara. It is a machlokas Rishonim explicitly between the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam. If you got to see Tosfos and Sanhedrin, do you see that Tosfos yet? It's on the list. So Tosfos and Sanhedrin quotes there the Rabbeinu Tam. In our Tosfos here in Bava Kamma, we only have the Ri, but Rabbeinu Tam is found in the Tosfos in Sanhedrin, and also importantly in the Ran. And the Ran is the one, the source I think probably it's most valuable for you to see tomorrow as the segue between the Uber Yerech Imo issue and the abortion issue, a source that's very important for both. And I'll read from you a little bit now, but you can look at it all inside tomorrow. So here it's in front of me, here it's Chulin Daf Yutes Amud Aleph B'Dape Harif Dibra Maschul Inyan. So should mark that down as the first Mar Makom for tomorrow to take a look at. So it's interesting also, this Ran, which we'll make reference to, the Ran goes through a lot of the sugyas, a lot of the questions, in his usual comprehensive fashion. And he gives us an insight into how to read this Tosfos, which I'll share with you in a second. But essentially, yesterday we talked a little bit about how to approach that question. What exactly is the question of Uber Yerech Imo? Is it presumably not a Metzias question? And presumably not, it's not going to be answered by biology or answered by doctors. So where exactly do we derive the approach here? So we discussed, is it about, do we look at the fact that there is an independent system, an independent life system there? Or do we instead focus on the fact that right now that system is being sustained by the mother? Is that what gives it its independent or lack of independent status? Or do we look at the future, the idea that al pi derech hateva, this will be an independent entity, human or animal, depending on what we're talking about. So therefore, that should be significant even if right now it isn't. You know, these are questions which are both lumdish and philosophical and parallel some of the questions that come up in the abortion debate. So you have these possibilities, but what also seems to emerge is that it's hard to have one answer for all of the sugyas. And that even if you have a side, even if you're like the Rabbeinu Tam, you take a stand on this, you're still going to have to account for other sugyas that don't work, and you're going to have exceptions. So you're going to have one default position and figure out what that is, and then explain the others as exceptions. And the Rambam, for that reason, the Rambam is the source of a lot of discussion in the Achronim The Stipler in Bava Kamma has a long essay about it, about what is the Shittos HaRambam. And Stipler in other places also talks about this at length. The Rambam is the topic of a lot of discussion, so we won't try to fully go into it now. The Pachad Yitzchak, not Rav Huttner, but the Pachad Yitzchak of Rav Yitzchak Lampronti, which was essentially a halachic encyclopedia before there were such things. So in the Pachad Yitzchak of Rav Yitzchak Lampronti, he favors the understanding, Lampronti, that the Rambam and the Ravid line up, that the Rambam is like the Ri, that generally Uber Yarachimo, and that the Ravid is like Rabbeinu Tam, that Uber Lav Yarachimo. But again, that's an oversimplification, because the Maisa, there is a lot of analysis that is given to the Rambam. But just between where this Ran is, that you'll see, and the Tosfos on Ardaf, so the primary sources that are being asked against each other are, on the one hand, Trefa, that the Gemara in Chulin is one of the places where that topic comes up. It comes up in Tmura also, and elsewhere. But the idea that the status of Trefa that's given to the mother does not extend to the Vlad, that seems to suggest that what? Uber Lav Yarechima. However, the fact that we find that a behema that is nogachas or nirbas, if you have an animal that either was used for bestiality or gored another animal, so then the status does extend to the vlad. So that seems to suggest that what? Over Yarachimo. So just to zero in on one microcosm of this whole discussion, so which one is the Iker Din and which one is the exception? If we assume there is a contradiction here between Trefa on the one hand and Nogachas and Nirbas on the other hand, so which one is the key default position and which one is the exception? Sam, you want to... Right. So that's, each one's going to have a different approach to this because they're going to address this question differently. But essentially, that's what they're going to have to answer. They're going to have to say that one of them is the real din, reflective of the real din, and the other one is the exception. Now, one could wonder, maybe you don't have to paskin it at all then. Why don't you just say that in every case we'll have to see how it lines up. So presumably... they're not really at odds with each other that much, you know, because it's still going to end up coming to the same conclusion in many different dinim. But figuring out what the default is, and then assuming that that'll be the baseline is important. And the Gemara clearly works off the assumption that we have to figure that out to some extent. So it's worth noting also that in our Tosfos and Bava Kamma and Daf Mem Zayin. So you see, it's not written in the clearest possible way. But if you look carefully, our Tosfos is kind of telling us already that just on our daf, you see two different aspects of what it might mean to say Uber Yarachimo. Because on the one hand, you could say there's at least two relevant dinim that come out from our Gemara. One is the fact that the Vlad is at all responsible for the hezek here. To say that you should collect from the Vlad, that already tells you something, because you could say the Vlad had nothing to do with this. And that's what's addressed by the line in the Gemara, "Mai taima gufahi." But maybe that doesn't tell you everything. Maybe it's possible to say those words and have that not mean the same thing as Uber Yarachimo. But there's another din on our daf, which is more relevant. And that is that basically, it would have been one thing to say, all right, we extract the payment from the Vlad, but only proportionally. So it's split. Part of the payment comes from the mother, and part of the payment comes from the Vlad. And it's basically a half from the mother and a quarter from the Vlad because of the suffix. Okay, whatever it is, but it's proportionally connected. But if you say that if the mother is not available, the whole thing comes from the Vlad. So that's where Tosva says, that's surprising. Because let's say you had two animals together that were both responsible. And one of them goes missing. So you wouldn't say, okay, so now we take the whole payment from one of the animals, the only one that's left. Why should he have to pay twice as much just because the other guy disappeared? We see them as two separate entities. Each one had partial responsibility. So apparently, that's not the model here. That here, the Uber is not like another party that was also responsible. The Uber is like the foot, is like the same animal itself. And therefore, the same way we don't divide between body parts, so too, we don't look at any difference at all between the Uber and the mother. So says Tosfos on our daf, that's the bigger chesh. Now you really, I'm sorry to cut you off, now you really see that Uber really Yarechima. So there's two levels of associating the Uber with this act. The fact that it's Chayiv at all, okay, that we see from the Gemara right here, and my time agufahi. But that wouldn't have told you necessarily Uber Yarechima. Apparently there's some room to distinguish between Uber Yarechima and that phrase Gufahi. They sound like they're synonymous, maybe they're not. But the fact that you can collect the whole thing from the Uber already, that's something we have to figure out. That really sounds like Uber Yarechima. So it's just interesting to draw that distinction. Already you see on our daf that the phrase can mean different things in different contexts, or it could come down to a semantic question sometimes. What are you calling that status? What are you using that phrase to apply to? And it might mean different things at different levels. Now, what's also interesting, just in terms of reading Rishonim, is that our Tosfos isn't 100% clear where it's coming from. Right? When the start of Tosfos sounds like it could have been written somewhere else. And it says, Mida'amar Rava Parakol Asurin Bitzmura in the Sanhedrin. So it sounds like he's asking about other statements in the Gemara, just the very fact that Vlad HaNogachas and Rabas is subject to their din of the mothers. But it doesn't necessarily come out that Tosfos is explaining this phrase, my time agufahi. Right? It doesn't. You don't know for sure that Tosfos is saying, oh, my time agufahi, that sounds like it means uber yarchimo, but maybe not. Because Tosfos doesn't actually say those words. Starts off talking from the Gemara and Torah. So our biggest reason to connect it to that is the Dibur HaMaskil. The Dibur HaMaskil is my time agufahi. But who knows how much weight to put on a Dibur HaMaskil? It's a printer's decision. It doesn't necessarily tell us 100% the intent of the specific Rishon, so maybe Tosfos wasn't commenting on this line specifically. However, if you look at the Ran, again, you'll see this whole Ran inside tomorrow, but I'll just read you this key line. So here, in the middle of the round, it says here, first he brought the fact that the Gemara in Chulin, talking about Shreifa, sounds like Uber Lav Yarechimo. But then he says, Kasha Batuva, it's very hard. The Bekama Duchti Mashma de Uber Yarechimo. In many places it sounds like Uber is Yarechimo. But the Ha Amar Parakapara, Parash Ezika Govmi Vlada, my time Magufahu. So from the Ran, it's clear he is asking from those words. In our Tosfos, you didn't have it explicitly, you only have the Dibur HaMaskil, but it's just interesting to note that if you want to assume they're coming from the same place, so Tosfos, the Ran in Chulin does clearly cite that phrase from our Gemara as basis for a question. That sounds like Gufahu means Uber Yarechimo, and then we got to figure that out. Okay, so far so good. It's just a ha'ara about how to relate to the language of the Rishonim here. But in the end of the day, so skipping over some of the major discussions, but it comes out that the Ri says the default is Lav Yarechimo. No, I just said that to fool you. The Ri says the default is Yarechimo, and Treifus is the exception. And Rabbeinu Tam says that the default is lav yarechimo, and nirbas and nogachas is the exception. So if you're the Ri, so then you believe that yarechimo, that's the general rule. So treifus is the exception. And if you're the Rebbeinu Tam, then you believe lav yarechimo, and nirbas and nogachas are the exceptions. So why should each one be an exception? Let's just talk about that for a minute. So if you want to say like Artosis, that the rule is Yarechimo, normally it should have the same status as the mother. So why is Trefa the exception? So here there's a lot to say, but on the surface what it seems like it's getting at is that the whole point of being a Trefa is that it's not going to survive. And because the Uber has independent existence, so the Uber will, all things equal, survive. So by its very nature, the status of Trefa is not one that should apply to the Uber. There is much to discuss about that, you know, about whether the Uber is a Trefa while it's in the mother and only becomes not a Trefa after it's born. And is there such a thing? Can you become untreif after being treif? That's a whole discussion. It's a whole machlokus. Rav Shechter gave a chabur about it this year in the Kolo. You listen to it on Hawaii Torah about that question. So there are many technicalities to discuss in that issue, but it seems on the surface that that's the basic point. That because it does have independent chiyus, so therefore that challenges the very status of treifa. So it makes sense. For treifa, we should have different rules. Hi.
We can't do. The treifa wouldn't necessarily affect the growth of the fetus, like, it wouldn't...
Not necessarily, like, yeah. I mean, clearly it's possible for an animal to survive being born from a treifa.
So is it dependent, though, based on how it would affect the uber?
Well, if the uber actually is a treifa, so we want to show either it is or isn't. So if the uber actually is a treifa, so then it would be a treifa. But the question is, should we call it a treifa just because the mother is a treifa, without any independent medical issues of its own? So if you want to say it's attached to the mother, so then you could say it is a treifa. So the fact that we say that it's not a treifa automatically, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, but the fact that we come out that it's not a treifa sounds like, say the Rishonim, it sounds like it's not Yerachimo, it's independent. So the Ran, or Rebbeinu Tam, the Ran will ask the question, Rebbeinu Tam will answer, yeah, you're right. Exactly, that's the story. Uber lav Yerachimo. But the Ri will say, no, generally uber yarechimo. But here, the concept of treifus has a unique cheshbon to it that it makes sense that the vlad, after it's born at least, should not be considered a treifa. So that's from the perspective of the uber yarechimo team. The Ri, and according to some of the Rambam and others. Now, what if you come at it from the other perspective? And you say the default is like Rebbeinu Tam, and maybe like the Ravid, that Uber lav yarech imo, that the Uber is not considered to be the thigh of the mother. So then, what about the other dinim? What about Nogachas and Nirbas? So what about the fact that if the animal is mazik, or if the animal was a tool of bestiality, so that status does attach to the vlad. So there, the explanation will be that no, that's also kind of a metzias issue. That in the case of nogachas, so I think Jed was saying yesterday, it participated in the attack and maybe even contributed to the impact of the attack. While in the case of nirbas, so it was also a part of the body that partook in this experience. So therefore, the status should attach to it also. So here's where you can ask the question I mentioned yesterday, but just to say a little bit more about that, Rav Elchanan asks in the Kovet Shirim to Bava Kamma and elsewhere, and the Chalkes Yoav asks, and a few other Achronim ask, from Shur HaEtzdadin, that if you have an animal that is trained by humans to be a fighter, so then that does not give the guilt status to the animal. He's considered to be honest, apparently. but it's not ki yigach, but rather it's shigichu acherim, others have made him be nogeach. So you're going to tell me that this vlad trapped inside the mother, he's guilty? He's more of a deliberate actor than the stadium trained, sure. So that seems a little surprising. So a number of achronim take on that question. So some say, yeah, that basically the whole chiddush of the Shorite studied is that it's not in its teva to be a violent animal, but it was forced to do so. It was that teva was imposed upon it by others, but it's not inherently its own responsibility. But when you have the animal inside the mother, it sounds like many achronim are saying this, even if you want to say lav yarechivo, but the das is supplied by the captain of the ship, so to speak, by the mother. So whatever das the mother has, that attaches to the vlad. The vlad is considered to be participating in that in a way that the Shorat Zadin is not. Because the relationship to the mother, whether it's actual halachic over yarechimo, or whether it's just metzias, and we could still say lav yarechimo, but the metzias is it's there being a part of what the mother's doing. So therefore the das, the intent, so to speak, as it is, of the mother, is going to attach to the vlad also. Hi.
That's pretty nafkamina for Mubarish and Iskaira.
So let's talk for a few minutes now about Mubarish and Iskaira. So again, there's much we can say about this sugya, but in the interest of time, we probably won't say much more. We just gave some key foundations. But just to talk for a second about Mubarish and Iskaira, which is a fascinating sugya in general. So I have fond memories that when I was in high school, I heard a chabur about this topic from my future, at that time, Chavrusa, Rabbi Sobolovsky Shlita, and it's later published in his Sefer, not the Sefer that you see more frequently, the Sefer on Nida. I guess you could see it, maybe it comes up in that context too, but it comes up in his Sefer, a much earlier Sefer, Reishis Koach, on Maseches Bechoros. So in the Reishis Koach and Bechoros, he has this Chabura written up, where it talks about this question, that the Gemara says that Mubarish and Iskaira, if you have a pregnant woman who converts, so part of her conversion, she'll go to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, Bina ein sarach tvila. But let's say she has a son eventually from this pregnancy. That son does not require a separate immersion in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, this you could understand either way. If you say, uber yarechimo, okay, we get it. So it's a part of the mother's body, and the mother converted completely. So therefore, everything in her body converted. Her toes converted, her feet converted, and the child converted also. So, okay, so there's no need for a tefillah once the child is born, because he was born converted. He'll need a bris milah, but then presumably that's a bris milah like every Jewish boy, not a bris milah that's a part of the conversion process. While if you say uber lav yarechimo, says the Gemara, then it still works. Why? Because the entire vlad was submersed in the mikvah. Now you'll say, well, wait a minute, isn't this a chatzitza? It's completely surrounded by another human being, so doesn't that qualify as a chatzitza? So the Gemara says, no, hainu revise, that's the way it grows, that's its natural growth inside of another person. So therefore, that does not constitute a chatzitza. So all of that so far is from the Gemara, that there is agreement that when the mother converts in the mikvah, the son that is born from that pregnancy does not need an independent tevila, because either yarechimo, and he's a part of the mother's conversion completely, or lav yarechimo, and he's not necessarily converting with the mother, but he is immersing. And therefore that immersion counts. So then, what about the bris milah he's going to have afterwards? So it sounds like, according to the second possibility, that it's not just the bris that every Jewish boy has, then it sounds like that's going to be a part of the Geirus process. That he didn't fully convert with the mother, and therefore he still needs the Bris Mila to be part of the conversion. So the Ramban over there writes, the Ramban Yevamos writes, that you see from here a Chiddush, that normally when a male converts to Judaism, we assume that first you need the Mila, and then the Tefillah afterwards. Bris Mila first, and then the Tefillah. But apparently here we see that it doesn't have to be that way. And that if you do it the other way around, if you have the Tefillah first, and then the Mila, that's also acceptable. And the Rashba explains what he means. He says that if you're saying here, Uber Lav Yarachimo, so you're saying that essentially the son is now a separate entity, undergoing the conversion process, but he's having the Mila after the Tefillah. So apparently that's okay. So it comes out, the Ramban is understanding what's going on here, that the child is not fully converting at that time. He's starting the conversion process, but he's not fully converted. According to the first side of the Gemara, the child is fully converted at that time. According to the way the Ramban understands this second side, he's not fully converted. Now, could you disagree with the Ramban? Yeah, the Nemuki Yosef quotes the Ra'ah, and there are others who say like this also, that no, the child is fully converted according to everyone. He's a male and he needs Tevila, so if he's separate from the mother, why does it work? I mean, he's a male and he needs Mila, so if he doesn't have the Mila yet, why does it work? So some Rishonim understand, because he's treated like in the Keva, he's treated like a female, because since it's physically impossible, who knows what's possible now with microsurgery and whatever, but since it's physically impossible under normal circumstances to give the Bris Mila to this Vlad, so okay, so he's treated like an Akeva, the same way an Akeva is converted without Mila. So too, the male child here is also converted without Mila. So according to those Rishonim, even if you say Uber Lav Yarachimo, you still could consider it a complete conversion. So it's the Ramban's Chiddush that the conversion is not finished. You don't have to agree with the Ramban, but basically it comes out that according to the Ramban, if you say Uber Lav Yarachimo, this is only the first step of his conversion. And when he has the Bris Mila after he's born, that will finish the conversion. And it's okay to do it out of order, and that's what we see from this day. So that's a chiddush on a couple of levels. It has implications for Hilchas Mila, for sure, and for Hilchas Geirus. But it's a pretty big chiddush here. So you're saying that the child is not Jewish until the conversion finishes. So there are a number of kashas they ask in the Ramban. But one kasha that they ask is that there's a Gemara that sounds differently, maybe a few Gemaras that sound differently. But for example, the Gemara says, let's say you have a woman who's pregnant with twins, and she converts in the middle of her pregnancy, and then the twins are born. That's what we call Leidasam B'Kedusha. They were born as Jews with Kedushas Yisrael, but Harasam Shelo B'Kedusha. Their conception was not the Kedusha. When the mother conceived these twins, she was not Jewish. So the din is that they are considered to be brothers for the purposes of Arayos, meaning that when they grow up, if one marries a woman and then, say, they get divorced, or even if they don't get divorced, but the other brother wants to be with that woman, so that's Gili Arayos, not just Mishum Eishes Ish, but Mishum Eishes Ach. They're considered brothers for that purpose. So some ask, well, hold on a second. If somebody converts to Judaism, let's say if two adult brothers convert to Judaism, the halacha sees them as kikat and hanola dami, like they were just born then, and they're not considered related. So if you have two adult brothers who convert, they're not considered related minat Torah anymore. Midrabanan, we treat it like they're still related. But minat Torah, they're not considered to be related. So here, if these brothers are related, it means that they're considered to be born Jewish. That it's not like the Ramban implies that the conversion still has to happen afterwards. So there are various approaches to this. There's one Rav Naftali Trop, the Garnat, who is the Rashiv in Radin. So he has an approach which is probably the most well-known statement in the Sefer Garnat, because it comes up here and in other contexts also. So it's related to a Yesod he has in other places, so it's worth knowing. Just if there's one Garnat to know, it would be this one. And the Dvar Avraham, says something very interesting, and it's going to contradict what you learned in elementary school. So that's also worth knowing. So we'll just mention those two approaches. Again, you can find Rabbi Sobolevsky and his Sefer. Discusses both of them. But the Garnat basically says that there's different levels of being a part of Yisrael. There's like a Shem Am Yisrael, and there's Kedushas Yisrael. And it's possible to have one without the other. So the Geiris comes to complete the Kedushas Yisrael. So when you have somebody who is born Leidasol B'Kedusha V'Harasol Shalol B'Kedusha, so even if you say like the Ramban that there still needs to be a conversion, the conversion is there to give full Kedushas Yisrael. But still born of a Jewish mother is still part of already Am Yisrael. So therefore he is related to his twin brother through that process, because they both were born from the Jewish mother and that's where they got their status in Am Yisrael. But nonetheless, they still need a finish of Geiris, because that's what they're lacking for Kedushas Yisrael. So you could say both. You could say that the Geirus still has to be finished, like the Ramban, but that they're still related nonetheless. The Dvar Avraham says something very interesting. It's going to contradict what you learned in school, in elementary school. This is in Chelek Gimel and Siman Zayin Os Tes, the Dvar Avraham. That you probably learned that there's no such thing as half a Jew. Right? Nowadays you talk about somebody being half Jewish because one parent is Jewish, one parent is not Jewish. So we always respond, no, but Al-Pidin, there's no such thing, because it all goes from the mother. So if the mother is Jewish, he is Jewish. If the mother isn't, he isn't. There's no halfway. So here's what you can respond, that there is one way to have half a Jew, according to the Dvar Avraham. According to the Dvar Avraham, when you have a Uberish and Iskaira, so if you assume Uber Lavi Archimo, so the Uber is not really participating in the conversion fully, but more of the Vlad is going to be formed after the Tvila, after the conversion. So part of this baby was formed in the body of a Jewish woman, and part of it wasn't. So therefore, if you say, like the Ramban, that it still has to convert, so before conversion, what you have here is a baby that's half Jewish and half not Jewish. The part that was born, the part that was formed before the conversion, is not Jewish because it didn't participate in the mother's conversion. But the part that was formed after that is Jewish because it was created in the body of a Jewish mother. So therefore, here you have unusual creation. You have a person who's actually half Jewish and half not Jewish, defying everything we learned in elementary school. And therefore, yes, he's related to his twin brother, because the half that has Kedushas Yisrael, that part does have the relationship. But it still needs conversion because of the half that isn't. So it's a chap. So just to quickly recap what we spoke about, and then again tomorrow we'll start with a focus on the abortion issue, and I'll give you more marmakomos, but either way, the first thing you should look at is the Rand, Chulin, Yates, and Aleph, Bedape, Harif, Dibra Maschul, Ulinian. And we'll both recap the sugyas about Rabbi Achimo and have important things to say about the abortion issue. So this what we discussed today was, we discussed it in general, it's Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas in the Gemara, Machlokas Rishonim Hadapaskin, but either way you look at it, you're going to find steerers. So you have to say that one position is the default. Maybe you could say no position is the default, but you have to say that at most one position is the default and there are exceptions. So it comes out that according to the Ri, And maybe the Rambam has some understand the default is Yerachimo, and Trefus is the exception. Why is it the exception? Because it has independent life. That goes to the whole definition of what a Trefa is. And according to the Rebbeinu Tam, and maybe the Ravid, that Uber Lav Yerachimo is the default, and the question is Nogachas and Nirbas. So why is that what it is? So that's because the animal itself benefits from the experience or partakes in the experience. So maybe that could be true even without saying Uber Yerachimo. And we noted that that's a discussion really how to understand the phrase in our Gemara, my time agufahi, sounds like it's the same thing as Uber Yerachimo, but maybe there's a distinction to be drawn. And indeed, the Tosfos on our daf does draw that distinction, although it doesn't identify explicitly that it's talking about that phrase. The Dibur HaMaskil brings the phrase in. We're not sure how much significance to give that, except that the Ran's language, he explicitly asks on the phrase gufahi. He makes it clear that that's the question he's asking. So if you say that that Lav Yerachimo, but still we have this din of Nogachas and Nirbas, it's because of the actual role the Vlad plays in the process. And we mentioned Achronim such as Bochanan and the Chakasiyov and others asked from Shur HaTzadin, why should that be any worse? Why should it be worse than Shur HaTzadin? And Achronim explained, because here Lamaisa, it's a part of the Das of the Mother, either B'metzias or Halachically, and therefore that guides the decisions as opposed to the adult animal trained by others where it's really subject to the will of others. And then we talked about the question of Ubri Yerachimo in relation to Bano in Tzarech Tefillah, that the Gemara says either way that's true if a woman converts in the middle of pregnancy, because either Yerachimo and the child is part of the process, or Lav Yerachimo and the child is not fully converted, but the child did immerse, because it's surrounded by water and surrounded by the mother too, but the Gemara says Hainu Revise. So the Ramban says, based on this, that you see, according to the second side, the child still needs to finish the conversion. The bris they'll have later is a bris for the shame of Geirus. And it's okay, it can go out of order. Normally a male should have Mila then Tefillah, but here we see it's possible to go the other way around. So according to the first side of the Gemara, it's not true. But even according to the second side, you could disagree, because like the Ra'ah says, maybe even though it's a male, it's treated like an akeva because the bris is impossible at that point. So maybe if the bris is impossible, so then you can have the tefillah first. But if it's a born male where the bris is possible, so then the bris would have to always come before the tefillah. So the question is, if you say like the Ramban, that the conversion is not finished until the bris, so that's a pretty surprising aspect. And how does it work with such dinim as the idea that twins in this circumstance would be considered related? We wouldn't treat them like converts shenolo dummy, that they're not related to each other. So we mentioned two very significant approaches. One, the Garnat, significant because again it's probably the most well-known yesod in the Sefer Garnat, applied to other contexts as well, distinguishing between Shem Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. He has this discussion in relation to Eretz Yisrael also. It's a part of the Yisod that's most often quoted from the Garnat. And the very Mechudish Dvar Avram, that it's possible in this case to have half a Jew. That even though normally we say there's no such thing as half a Jew, here there is such a thing that if a woman converts while she's pregnant, whatever was formed in her after the conversion is born to a Jewish mother, is created in a Jewish mother, and whatever was formed beforehand is not, then awaits a conversion before becoming fully Jewish. Okay, so these are some of the inyanim, and God willing, we will continue tomorrow. Okay, who's heading today's message? Thank you.